January 30th, 1895. Receiving gifts. Your letter only came today, and at a time when a number were about to leave our house to take passage on a steamer from Sydney to New Zealand. You inquire with respect to the propriety of receiving gifts from Gentiles or the heathen. The question is not strange, but I would ask you, who is it that owns our world? Who are the real owners of houses and lands? Is it not God? He has an abundance in our world which he has placed in the hands of men, by which the hungry might be supplied with food, the naked with clothing, the homeless with homes. The Lord would move upon worldly men, even idolaters, to give of their abundance for the support of the work, if we would approach them wisely, and give them an opportunity of doing those things which it is their privilege to do. What they would give, we should be privileged to receive. We should become acquainted with men in high places, and by exercising the wisdom of the serpent and the harmlessness of the dove, we might obtain advantage from them. For God would move upon their minds to do many things in behalf of his people. If proper persons would set before those who have means and influence the needs of the work of God in a proper light, these men might do much to advance the cause of God in our world. We have put away from us privileges and advantages that we might have had the benefit of, because we chose to stand independent of the world. But we need not sacrifice one principle of truth while taking advantage of every opportunity to advance the cause of God. The Lord would have his people in the world, but not of the world. They should seek to bring the truth before the men in high places and give them a fair chance to receive and weigh evidence. There are many who are unenlightened and uninformed, and as individuals we have a serious, solemn, wise work to do. We are to have travail of soul for those who are in high places, and go to them with the gracious invitation to come to the marriage feast. Very much more might have been done than has been done for those in high places. The last message that Christ gave to his disciples before he was parted from them and taken up into heaven was a message to carry the gospel to all the world, and was accompanied by the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." Burden for souls.
There is a great work to be done in the earth, and the Lord Jesus has taken men into co-partnership with himself, in order that heavenly agencies may cooperate with human agencies. Christ was in travail of soul for the redemption of the world, and those who are laborers together with God are representatives of Christ to our world, and will have compassion for the lost, and will travail in soul for the redemption of men. Unless the church awakes and attends to her post of duty, God will charge the loss of souls to her account. I have a deep interest that the work of God shall advance. Those who are the chosen of God are required to multiply churches wherever they may be successful in bringing souls to the knowledge of the truth. But the people of God are never to collect together into a large community as they have done in Battle Creek. Those who know what it is to have travail of soul will never do this, for they will feel the burden that Christ carried for the salvation of men. Every one who is chosen of God should improve his intellectual powers. Jesus came to represent the character of the Father, and he sent his disciples into the world to represent the character of Christ. He has given us his word to point out the way of life, and he has not left us simply to carry that word, but has also promised to give it efficiency
by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is there need then that anyone should walk in uncertainty, grieving that they do not know and experience the movings of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts? Are you hungering and thirsting for instruction in righteousness? Then you have the sure promise that you shall be filled. And we know that the Son of God is come, and have given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The Lord would have us in possession of the Spirit of heavenly wisdom. Are we all being impressed to pray to the Lord humbly and earnestly as our necessities require, importuning him for the Spirit of wisdom? Do we pray saying, "Show me the secrets of wisdom, that which I know not, teach thou me"? Oh, for humble, earnest prayer to go forth from unfeigned lips praying for the counsel that is of God. He says, "Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom."